As most of you know, we've been following the Sharon Playhouse this summer since they started their season and have really put together an amazing season so people can be entertained and the Playhouse can still stay in your eyesight and know that they're there. And it's gone everything from plays to now Patio Cabaret, which is going to start once again this Friday. But also on Sundays, they've been doing a whole bunch of different shows, and now they're into movies. And the movies that they do, that they show at their outdoor theater, are fundraisers for the Movie House in Millerton. Of course, we all know the Movie House has been really shut for almost 6 months now. And this is just a nice way to help out the Movie House and raise some funds for them as well. The ticket prices are by car. If you can put four or five people into the car, it's a great deal. $50 for a car. There's only room for 52 cars on these events. But the next movie that is coming up is The Scottish Play. It's a drive-in movie event at the Playhouse on Sunday. And we have the writer and director, Keith Boynton, with us. And we're trying a new way to put this on the air. We'll see how it works. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Marshall. How you doing?
Not too bad. Well, I guess this is working out all right.
It seems that way. I was nervous about it, but I think it's working.
Well, that makes two of us. I'm 67. I've been in radio a long time, and this summer I've learned a lot about Zoom, clean feed, you name it. I've learned because
we're all learning a lot that we didn't really want to learn.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the movie first. Explain a little bit what this movie is about, The Scottish Play, that's going to be held Sunday at the Sharon Playhouse.
Yeah, so the movie's about a production of Macbeth, which is known as The Scottish Play. The tradition in the theater is that Macbeth is a cursed play, which is why we call it The Scottish Play instead of Macbeth. It's bad luck to say the name. So the movie kind of explores the background of the curse, possible interpretations of why it would be cursed, and spoiler alert, the ghost of William Shakespeare makes several appearances in the film.
It's funny that we talk about William Shakespeare. We just had a big thing in Kent where somebody was revealing what they feel is the true William Shakespeare. That controversy hit our area as well. Well, let's talk. What made you want to put this movie together? I mean, what was the enticing fact that said, you know, this would be a great project?
I wanted to write Shakespeare.
Okay.
I wanted to write him as a character. I wanted to try to find his voice and figure out what my version of Shakespeare would be. And so it was really just coming up with a framework where I could write in that voice and have Shakespeare be a character without creating a full Elizabethan dress period piece.
We're speaking with Keith Boynton, who once again is the writer and director of this movie, which is going to be at the Sharon Playhouse on Sunday. And I can't emphasize this enough. All these movies have sold out. The 52-car limit has been reached with every one. And it's a great fundraiser for the Movie House. On top of that all, you can have a dinner from J.P. Gifford will also be available. The menu and ordering will be up online, but you can also speak to J.P. Gifford about that as well. And there are COVID-19 guidelines if you get out of the car and stuff. But what we also tell you is that when you go to this movie, not only will you be able to hear it on stage, on speakers, but you can also, if you want to, just tune in a radio station that they have a low frequency on and listen to it that way. Now, Keith, let's get to you. How did you get interested in wanting to get into film?
I stumbled upon a book of Roger Ebert movie reviews at my grandfather's house when I was bored out of my mind, staying with my grandfather. And I just started reading movie reviews to pass the time. And I was completely captivated by Ebert specifically, his passion for the medium and his knowledge about it. And that kind of put this seed in my head that movies were something I had taken them for granted, you know, but I was 13 years old and I suddenly realized, no, this is an art form. This is something to be taken seriously. And it's something really magical. And I made my first film here in the northwest corner in 2003. It was called Miles, actually. It was never released. But I just started doing it. I just started making films when I was about 21 And I've been at it ever since.
You know, it's an interesting story because when I was in high school and when I was in grammar school, I had no idea who or what I wanted to become. But my father was a comedian, and we used to go travel with him all the time. And then we'd get introduced up on stage, and I was always overweight, and I had a stain on my shirt and everything, but I would make audiences laugh. And then I went along with him on a couple of radio interviews that he did back in those days. And it was from that point on where I always knew that one way or another I was going to wind up in radio. So I think that's a pretty when you have an introduction to something like that, it is no longer a job. It is just part of your everyday life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love movies. I'm passionate about the medium, and I feel really lucky that I actually get to make them, you know, even on a small scale. We shot this movie in Newburgh, just across the river, the Hudson River. We shot it in Newburgh and Poughkeepsie. So I get to sort of explore my part of the world and make the movies that I want to make.
Well, speaking about shooting movies, and the movie that I forget the actor's name, who did in Poughkeepsie, I know this much is true, won an Emmy for it. So, but, you know, this area, we found out there's a lot of filming going on in this area. We operate the Bargain Barn thrift shop as a 501c3, and I can't tell you how many movie companies come in and they buy period clothing and stuff for the movies. It really is amazing. So now you've got a movie company. Let's talk a little bit about your company, Crazy Lake Pictures.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if I'm being honest, I would say Crazy Lake Pictures is more or less just an alias for me and whatever project I happen to be involved in. For this movie, The Scottish Play, I partnered up with a real company, an actual production company called Choice Films, that's based in Newburgh. And they handled really all of the logistical elements so that I could focus on, the craft of making the movie. I should mention also, just as an extra incentive for people to come to the screening, there is no other way to see this movie at this moment. It's not available online. We're still working out a release plan. So if you want to see The Scottish Play at all, Sunday would be the opportunity.
And the great thing about it is you're local. I mean, you're from Lakeville. And of course, the movie house is local. And what I always say about the movie house is Millerton's turnaround really started with the Sadlons fixing up that theater and making Millerton a destination. So this is a nice way to look at somebody who's from our area, who's a filmmaker, and also helping out the movie house. But with what you just said, we're speaking with Keith Boynton, by the way. What do you feel about today? Like, I have a 90-inch TV at home, okay? And I find myself, especially during the pandemic, I watch a lot of movies. And I watch a lot of lesser-known movies, not the big blockbusters. And the quality of films that you see, whether or not they're small documentaries or made by somebody you don't know, I just find it absolutely amazing, and I find it pretty inspiring. Is what's happening in this digital revolution making it easier for someone like you who makes movies to make movies and get them shown?
It's a lot easier to make them, and it's a lot harder than ever, I think, to find an audience, because there is so much content. So much of it is good. There's just a total glut on the marketplace. So I grew up, you know, with the stories of Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino and people like that in the 90s, who, for them, the hard part was making the film, making something you're proud of, making something that's worth paying attention to. And then if you actually managed to make a film, people were excited. Oh, an independent film, isn't that cool? Now everybody and their cousin is making independent films. And so the question is, well, why this movie? Why are people interested in this one in particular? And that's it's really a struggle.
Is it still, even for a small filmmaker, is it still hard to get funding for this as it is? I speak to people around here especially that we're blessed with so many people like you that are into filmmaking, that really they have to spend so much time raising funds and working that out that it makes the job even harder. I mean, do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, that's a difficult piece as well. I mean, on this film, I was really lucky. I kind of pulled the friends and family card, and I got some incredibly generous friends and family to put in most of the money. But it is difficult, and it's difficult to look someone in the eye and say, "We'll make this money back," because it's just a high risk business, and we try as hard as we can, and we don't know that we will make the money back.
And what was what was your favorite when you were young, growing up? What were your favorite films, your genres, and your directors or actors? Did you break things down like that, or did you just enjoy seeing films?
Well, I think I was sort of a late 90s kid. That was when I came of age and really, really got aware of what was happening in the movie world. So I was really excited about stuff like Fight Club and Good Will Hunting and L.A. Confidential and a lot of the movies that other guys my age were also really excited about. I think favorite genre at the time would have been kind of crime movies, and favorite director maybe Christopher Nolan. Nolan is still a guy that I admire a huge amount. But I guess I'm a little less interested in crime movies now, a little less interested in style, and a little more interested in humanity and just telling stories about people and their needs and dreams and desires.
Now, once again, the Scottish play, the drive-in movie event, is coming up this Sunday at the Sharon Playhouse. The gates open at 6, introductions at 7:15, and I guess you'll begin on those introductions, right, Keith?
I will. I have no idea what I'm going to say, but I'm going to come up with something really good. I'll have a good anecdote or something. It's going to be fantastic.
The movie begins at 7:30, and ticket prices are per car. And you even get a goodie bag with popcorn and treats. And like I said, if you want dinner from J.P. Gifford, you can order it from Gifford, and it'll be waiting for you. I love the way you described this on your Facebook page, that you'll be standing in the back of a pickup truck when you're talking, socially distancing in the back of a pickup truck.
That's correct. Not for the duration of the screening, no. But just for the introduction. I know the format because I saw The Big Short at the Playhouse last Sunday, and it was the coolest thing. The screenwriter Charles Randolph was there. He spoke about the film, and it just had that feeling of a community event, the kind that I think we've been missing for a long time, and we're especially missing right now. It was really, really magical.
Well, Keith, thanks for getting up early in the morning and speaking with us.
My pleasure.
You'll be there on Sunday, as will the movie. And once again, themoviehouse.net for more information. Keith, once again, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Marshall. It's a pleasure.
All right. Take care.
You too.
That is Keith Moyton this morning here on Robin Hood Radio. The Movie House benefit performance at the Sharon Playhouse this coming Sunday. You can get more information at sharonplayhouse.org or themoviehouse.net.